past year and the beginning of this year, God has really been speaking to me really about surrender. How does that look? What does it require? How can we actually facilitate it in our lives? Because there's this element that I constantly walked around with thing of, I have to do certain stuff in order for things actually to work. And especially in my ministry, I'm the youth leader there in the Shofar Johannesburg. I had to come to a point where I'm like, my wife is going to give birth in 2 months. Then I can't be at youth for, say, a month and a half. Who's going to run youth if I'm doing everything the whole time? If that makes sense. So I had to come to that place where I say, Lord, I have to trust people, but I have to trust you that you're going to lead the people. So out of that, I really felt God wants to come and speak to us out of Romans 8 this morning. So I just want to quickly read for us from verse 3 until verse 11. And it says the following. It says, For God has done what the law weakened by flesh could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned the sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. And I know this is actually quite a mouthful, and there's a lot of content in there. But this morning I really felt that we have to just look at the difference between walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit. And I think this is one of the biggest challenges for us as Christians, is to just almost discern when are we doing which one and how does it look. And are we doing things just because they look good and we want to do them? Or are we doing things because God told us to do them? And I think we sometimes struggle with that one. But the word starts with, it says, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk according to not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Sorry. Okay. So Paul is writing from a place where he's saying the law that the Jews are trying to keep is a law that was established in the flesh. Right? Yes, God gave us the Ten Commandments and those are from God. But from there, it actually quite spiraled, right? When the Ten Commandments was then tried to be enforced, the Pharisees came in and they said, you know what, we need to put extra laws in place so that the Ten Commandments can be filled in a sense. So I think to the extent of they added something 250 or 300 extra laws for the Jews to follow in order that the Ten Commandments can be followed to an extent. But then Paul comes in and he says, but the Ten Commandments out of a fleshly place, out of us, out of our natural place, cannot be followed. We cannot complete it. We cannot fulfill the Ten Commandments. We cannot fulfill the law that the Pharisees has actually placed on top of the Jews in that time. And he's coming to the Jews and he's having this argument with them and he's saying, Guys, we have to understand this. And then he says, but there's one person that came so that we don't have to walk according to the law anymore. And that's why God sent Jesus. Right? He sent him in order that we don't have to try out of our fleshliness not to work on a Saturday or not to carry this or not to do that or not to eat this. But to say that according to God, Jesus Christ has now died, and because of that, we can now walk according to the Spirit. Right? We're all familiar, or hopefully familiar, with Acts, where the Spirit of God was poured out on the disciples first. And God says, I will send you an helper. And we can see how God is coming in and saying, here is your helper. Not just to help you now to fulfill the law, but to help you to walk according to my word. And the problem that we came in with the whole time is that, firstly, Christianity today, we don't always know the word of God. So we don't know how to walk according to the Spirit because we don't know what the Spirit requires of us. And then secondly, we've come to a place where we're almost going to a place of hyper grace. Ach, Lord, it's okay if I mess up this time. Ach, you'll forgive me. Ach, Lord, it's okay if I do this. Lord, it's okay if I do that. All while the Holy Spirit is convicting us in our spirits, the Holy Spirit is saying, walk away from this. And we're saying, ach, Lord, just one more time. Just one more time do I want to watch this pornographic video. Just one more time do I want to be drunk and enjoy myself. Just one more time, Lord. And Paul is asking us, are we walking according to the flesh? Or are we walking according to the Spirit? And the thing for us is we have to understand that walking according to the Spirit doesn't mean that we just do things that look good for other people. Like we go to church, or we go to small group, or we go to youth events or worship events, and we go there not with the intention of actually seeking God, but the intention of people seeing us and seeing that we are Christians. There's this old saying that I actually quite like to quote a lot. And it says, we become so busy with the things of God that we forget about the God behind the things. Right? We become so busy with the things of God. We want to serve in church. We want to go to small group. We want to go to worship events. We want to serve. And I'm not saying those things are bad. Hear my heart in this. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that if we don't know God that actually inspires us to do these things, we are going to burn out over time because we're doing it not out of God but out of ourselves. And Paul becomes very serious about this. He says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Out of our earthly bodies, we cannot please God. And it's a bold statement. And it's a statement I've been sitting with, just thinking about it this whole week. I'm like, Lord, how are we supposed to please you if we don't know the difference between fleshly works and spirit works? And for the past 2 years, I'll be the first one to admit, I've been serving not out of a place of God, but out of a place of the world needs to serve. I need to serve. I need the people to see I'm still a Christian. I'm still stable. I can still do this thing. And at the beginning of this year, the Lord came to me and asked me, when are you going to stop striving? When are you going to stop? And I sat there on the couch in my living room. I'm like, Lord, I don't know when I'm going to stop because I don't know what's going to happen if I stop. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know what to do if I'm not serving, if I'm not doing the sound or packing the chairs or just showing up. I don't know what I'm going to do if I stop doing that. And so the Lord came and he challenged me and he said, all I want from you is an hour. Just come back and I will restore your serving. For a long time last year, at the end of December, when the church closed and everything is more or less done, I sat down like, Lord, I'm done with this. I don't want to be anymore. I feel like I don't have energy. I feel like I'm burnt out. I feel like everything is just too much around me. Well, I think it was partly because we just gone through a four-day camp with the youth. And there was a lot given out there and a lot taken from me. But at the end of that camp, I just sat at the Lord's feet. I'm like, Lord, how can I move forward if it doesn't feel like I'm doing anything? And God just brought me back to quiet time, just brought me back to just establishing the word in my heart again. And I've now been doing it for almost, well, we've got 2 months in this year, and I've been doing it for almost 2 months. And I can truly say that now I can actually start discerning between God saying, do something, and me saying, I'm available, I just want to go. And sometimes I have to come back and say, Lord, this is... this is not from you. I have to walk away from this. Yes, I can now teach at this youth event. Yes, I can teach at Bible school or do another teaching for the youth on this. But God has just told me, I don't want you to serve right now. Just walk away. And that doesn't mean that I can completely walk away, because yet I do work for the church. But to an extent, I can say no to certain things. I can say, no, I can't do sound this Sunday. I have to sit in church this Sunday. And I have to learn how that balance works between walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. Right? And then Paul comes in and he says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset in the spirit is life and peace. And I don't know if you guys know this, but the biggest battle for us as Christians, the biggest battle for us in Christianity, is in our minds. It's this constant tug and pull, right? It's this constant thing of, I want to actually do this. I want to watch this series. I want to just chill on my couch right now. And the Spirit's saying, no, I need you to intercede for this person. And it's this constant tug and war in the mind, and we have to constantly fight this battle. And I know for me personally, I was standing in worship now, and I just experienced how the enemy is just like, no, your word is wrong. No, you have to go back. No, maybe preach on this. And I have to constantly fight this battle in my mind. And then Paul says, what do you set your mind on? What do you set your mind on? Are we setting our minds on the things of Christ? In other words, what I, my understanding of this, and I'm totally open to be challenged in this, but my understanding of it is, am I going to constantly worry about how the elections are going to go in this country? Why is South Africa attacking Israel at the moment? Am I going to worry about the petrol price and what I'm going to eat tomorrow? Or am I going to just step into a place and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I thank you in any case. What am I going to set my mind? What am I going to keep myself busy with? Because it's easy to do busy work in a sense of your mind and just put a series on and just disappear into your own thoughts. And it's fun for a time. But I've realized quickly that after 4 or 5 episodes of certain series in my life, I stand up there and I'm like, Lord, I'm more heavier now than when I sat down. And it's that concept of rubbish in, rubbish out. What are you feeding yourself? Are you feeding yourself life? Are you feeding yourself the word? Is your spirit being fed by the word, by Christian music? And hear me, I'm saying this lightly, but not all Christian music is above board in my sense. But it's just an example, right? What are we feeding ourselves with? What are we giving to our minds to think about? And I had to come to a place, and God has been speaking to me a lot about this, Like, I've been putting a lot of stuff in just to keep myself going over the past few years. But none of that stuff actually built my spirit. Just temporary fixes. You know, like the cup I just saw in that picture that God showed me. It was almost like I put duct tape over that crack the whole time. And you can see a few drops coming out, but you're ignoring the drops. You're just focusing on what you're supposed to do. And the question that God really has came to put in my heart the whole time is, what are you feeding yourself with? And I'm coming back to it because it's so important. Are we living according to the flesh or are we living according to the spirit? Because if we're living according to the spirit, we cannot be half-half. We have to go full out and say, Lord, I am living for the spirit. Father, I am going to do my quiet time. I want to be obedient to what you're saying. And sometimes it's super scary. Sometimes God calls us to start praying for people that are in much higher positions than we are. And then one day he says, go speak to them. And you're like, Lord, maybe you can send this person. That would be easier. And then the flesh wants to take over and you have to rebuke the flesh and say, no, God has called me. I have to go. I have to go speak to that person. I remember last year, we were in a conference and the main speaker, he finished his session and the evening earlier a few things happened that I wasn't so comfortable with, and God told me I have to go tell that person that what happened last night is not from him. And I went to the main speaker like shivering and my voice is like almost gone, and I'm like, I just felt God saying that last night was not from him. You guys have to repent for what happened last night. And it was so amazing how God just establishes boldness. And in that moment, that obedience just frees you. Question again is, if I was not living according to the Spirit, if I was living according to the flesh in that moment, I would have been broken. Message would never have gotten to him. Maybe through someone else, but it wouldn't have been me. So what are we feeding our minds? What are we giving our minds to work with? Have you ever heard that statement that which your heart is full of, the mouth overflows of? It comes back to rubbish in, rubbish out. If we're going to feed our spirit, series, and all the politics of the world and everything that's happening in the world, what's going to happen? We're going to start talking about it. We're going to start negatively speaking stuff over our country that we don't know how we're going to pull back later. What are we feeding our minds? And then Paul goes further. He says, you, however, and this is the amazing part. He says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If, in fact, the spirit of God dwells in you. And the reality for us is that as soon as we give our hearts to God, we receive the Spirit of God as well. As soon as we step into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have the ability to walk in the Spirit. But then it comes back to us again. And this is a long process. I'm not saying this is happening overnight. But over time, we have to constantly choose the Spirit in order to break the flesh. When I was still addicted to pornography, when I was still addicted to a lot of other stuff, it took me 5.5 years to get loose, free, completely free from that stuff. Where I had 5.5 years of me rebuking the spirit, rebuking the flesh, and saying, I do not want to do this. I have to walk away from this. This is not from God. It took me a long time. Sanctification takes time. It takes time for us to walk according to the Spirit because the flesh is so overwhelming. Right? When we are born into a sinful nature. So from the beginning, we're fighting battles. From the beginning, we have to almost like say, Lord, more of you and less of me. But we only realize that when we can actually make our own decision, make our own thought patterns. And by that time, the spirit, the flesh is strong, right? So I don't want you to come here today and say, I rebuke myself because I'm living in the flesh. That's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to say is that we have to surrender to God. We have to surrender our hearts and say, Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. And I want to walk the road that leads to your Spirit. Even though it's going to be difficult, even though I'm going to lose some friends, I'm going to lose some colleagues, I'm going to lose people close to me that want to walk in the flesh, I have to walk away from them. Because that's not from you. And if we go to Galatians 6 verse 6 to 10, if you guys can go with me to that. Okay, it says the following. It says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For one who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are in a household of faith. But here, once again, the concept of what you will sow, you will reap, comes true. And he says, God is not mocked. Do not become so comfortable with God that we step into a place where we say, Ach Lord, you know my heart. Ach Lord, you know, next time I'll do better. Let's ask God and say, Lord, I want to become serious with my relationship with you. I feel here in the Western world, it's easy to become comfortable. If you look at China, you look at Korea, North and South. The Christians there, they memorize the word. If they get a book of the Bible, they take 2 hours, memorize it to memory, so that they can send it on to the next person so that they can have life from the word. We have our Bibles for many years, and some of us can't even quote the basic of scriptures. Because we've become reliant. We are okay with sowing weeds into our garden and ignoring them for a while. Because we know we will probably have another chance to correct that. But God is calling us and he says, I want you to live according to the Spirit. And the Spirit's not going to allow weeds just to pop up now and then and just be okay with it. The Holy Spirit's going to convict us. If our language is not according to his word, if our actions are not according to his word, he's going to come and convict us. Are we willing to be convicted? Are we willing to say, Lord, here I am. I want to give all of me to you. I don't just want to live out of myself anymore. I don't want to just do things because everyone else is doing them. I want to do them because you told me to do them. And we see this when Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father is doing. I only do what I see my Father is doing. Jesus Christ was the ultimate model for us to live according to the Spirit. He was the ultimate role model for us to follow and is still the ultimate role model for us to follow. Because he was raised from the grave. Because he went up to the Father. Because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father at this moment. We have to take that same motto to heart and say, Lord, I only want to do what I see you are doing. But to get to that place, we have to come into intimacy with Christ. We have to spend time with him. We have to know, this is how the Holy Spirit prompts me. This is how God speaks to me. This is what happens. We have to come back to the basics. And this, the Word of God is coming back to the basics. This is our manual to live according to the Spirit. We have to come back to God. So I want to challenge you this morning. And I want to ask you the question. Are we doing things just because it's fun to do them and we see everyone else in church are doing them? Are we just following the crowd like sheep? Or are we actually serious about what God is telling our hearts? Are we serious about what we are putting inside of our spirits in order for us to walk according to the Spirit? Are we serious about God? Or are we willing to walk out here today and just say, "Ach Lord, maybe next time. Maybe next time I will obey what you're telling me right now. Maybe next time I will go speak to that person who really needs you." Are we willing to say, "Father, I know that my flesh is hostile to you, but Lord God, I rebuke my flesh because I want to live according to you. I want to live according to your word, according to your principles, according to your promises." Or are we just willing to say, "Oh Lord, I know I've got time." So I really want to just play one last song for us. And while the song is playing, I want you guys to sit or stand or whatever is comfortable for you at the stage. But I want you to have this conversation with God. I want you to ask God, "Lord, am I being serious about you? Am I just doing things, or am I really trying to seek you?" I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is prompting in your hearts right now. And there's stuff we have to repent of. Let's repent. I'll be the first one to say, "Lord, I've been disobedient so many times. So many times my flesh has overtaken me." I'll be the first one to say it. But then I come back to God and I say, "Lord, thank you that you forgive. But thank you, Father, that next time I will go. And I will be obedient to what you're saying." You know, Father, the last part of Romans 8, verse 11 says, "The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Lord, thank you that you have raised us from our sins, Father. Lord, thank you that you've raised us from our fleshliness, Lord God. Lord, you give life and life in abundance. And Father, I want to pray this morning, Lord God, that you would really just come, Father, just speak life to our hearts again, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would pick up our spirit, man, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to stand up for your Spirit again, Lord God. And Lord, thank you, Father God, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's no condemnation, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that this word, Lord, will not break our hearts and let us feel shame and guilt, Father. But thank you, Lord, it will encourage us, Lord God, to just step closer into you, Father. Become more intimate with your word, more intimate with who you are, Father. Lord, I pray that you would bless everyone as we go into this week, Lord God. And help us, Lord, to just gather again next week, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.